there are some lies in our science books. Taught it for 15 years. Even though I'm not teaching it anymore, I still like to study. It's so many neat things to learn. We're going to cover some of that tonight.
Perception is being managed. We are being steered and guided by a hidden hand.
The whole world has been duped by the media that is not real.
Smart thinking, possible time traveler. Smart thinking.
That night, boom, contact memory.
And then, Alex, if you don't agree, you'll be sent to a re-education camp.
Just because I'm old doesn't mean I've lost my touch with the natives.
A lot of people here tonight felt like they lost. You know why?
Now, experts are suggesting that we're in a golden age of shape-shifting reptilian sightings. Now, why is that?
I was, and still am, a huge conspiracy guy. I literally ran out of new tin hat topics to research.
It was most definitely not capable of melting steel.
Then I would be a crackpot if I thought that was the case.
Thought that was the case.
Welcome to the Hypothetical Institute, a podcast about conspiracies.
My name's Luke.
I'm Salt.
I'm Cam. Gentlemen, how are we?
I'm bloody good, mate.
Yeah, I'm all right, thanks.
Well, boys, this week we thought we would talk about the Olympics.
Sorry, Cam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for asking, actually.
You're welcome.
You did ask. This week we're talking about the Olympics. Robbo, specifically, you want to talk about the Drug Olympics, which I think, aka the Olympics?
They're not called the Drug Olympics, Cam. They're the Enhanced Games.
Right.
I did go out and to see if there was like other Olympics gear that we could add on to bolster the Drug Olympics. So I found that people watched the 2012 London Olympics opening ceremony and they're like, oh, there's Illuminati symbolism.
Ooh.
Like with every halftime show and ceremony for the past 10 years. Yeah. It's like, okay, that's great. They're like, oh, the Queen was in it. You know, remember when the Queen like met James Bond and Paddington Bear and stuff?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, they're priming us for some news about the Queen because the Queen's going to die. It's like, wow.
Well, and then look at that. And then she did.
She did die.
It would be much more of a conspiracy if they did a big Olympics opening ceremony in London and didn't include the Queen in any way.
Yeah.
People would be like, where's the Queen?
Hmm. I was like, you know who won't let me down is Miles Mathis, the PDF guy.
Yep.
Some of his PDFs, as long as books, if they were printed out as books, you'd be like, this is a proper book, but it's just a PDF. Yep. He had a whole thing on racetracks because as well as being like a conspiracy theorist, he's a mathematician, but he's also a conspiratorial mathematician.
Mm.
And I think he's worked out that pi, you know, 3.1... blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 3.14176921. He's worked out.
A little pie show off there, Cam.
No, yeah. Well, don't look it up.
Okay.
He's worked out, though, and this is much simpler, and this makes it easy to be a pie show off. He's worked out pi is actually 4.
Okay.
And so all of the curved racetracks that are used in running races, they need to rework them out based on, because they've been using pi to work out the curves, what they needed to be using is the number 4.
Right.
Yeah, and that would make a lot of things a lot easier.
It would.
I might not have dropped out of math if I could just do things with 4.
Yeah. I don't know if he's onto anything. He sort of, because I don't understand anything about math, I was like, yeah.
Maybe there's maths with an S.
Yeah, I went to say maths with an S and got caught out and didn't do it.
Yeah.
And then Cam has copied me. So now it sounds like we're an American podcast.
Yeah, let's add S's onto those. Please, yeah. Boys.
So, sorry to our Antipodean listeners.
All right. Sorry. I'll say it with an S. So I don't know much about Smath, but he's like, because you know when they're going around the curves and you sort of get an advantage or a disadvantage based on whether you're on the inside or the outside. And so they sort of account for it with a, like by
straight.
yeah, they stagger the runners and things like that.
Yep.
I don't know about any of that, so I don't know if Miles Mathis is onto anything, but he was making points about, like, statistically, people on the outside win more, which you would think would be sort of evened out by them staggering things. So I don't know if Miles Mathis has done all the research, but I was like, maybe there is something going on here.
I wonder if that's because when they do their big wider turns, it's closer to them running in a straight line than it is for the people who have to do a tighter turn, so they don't decelerate as much.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what would solve all of this is if they just made running races straight. Just run a straight line.
Yeah. Instead of doing a 400 meters around a track, just do the 100 meter sprint four times.
Yeah.
Up and back.
Yeah.
Up and back.
Like a swimming pool.
Yeah, they make the swimmers do it. Yeah, why don't they give swimmers a curved pool?
Yeah.
Yeah. All good points.
I'm sure, though, when the maths comes into it and you're working out pi and water, it's probably completely different. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably psychological because, so I did some sprint running as a teen.
Mm-hmm.
And, from the cops, eh?
Yeah.
Could have been a little athletics.
I don't think we had a little athletics in New Zealand, but
just little ath.
Yeah. And when you're on the inside, you're doing specifically 200 and 400 meter, you're like, oh, I'm ahead. I'm clearly winning. I'm going to win this race really easily. Oh, no, is it the other way around? Anyway, it used to be when you, like, basically you get to the curve and you think I'm winning, and then you just get whoop, and then everyone catches up and beats you. Or vice versa. You think, you know, oh, man, I'm so far behind, I'm never going to catch them, and then it all evens out. You're like, oh, wait, I'm first. So I wonder if there's a psychological thing there of, like, people try or relax a bit.
Mm.
Or maybe, I mean, I haven't seen the stats, so maybe it's just made up some stats.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. But this is Miles Mathis. I'm sure everyone involved is a spy as well, so grain of salt.
I feel like the amount of science that goes into making people run faster these days, someone would have done the...
Someone else has done the maths.
Someone's run the numbers. Someone at Nike or the Olympics has gone, hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
All right, but you know who else has been thinking about the numbers?
Russian vids?
The Drag Olympics people.
Ah.
So, Robbo, what is the Drag Olympics?
So the Drag Olympics are the Enhanced Games, which is, you know how it's always been like a FM radio guy thing to say, oh, what if we just gave the runners all the drugs and see who won?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, man, wouldn't that be crazy? And then, you know, it never happens.
Yeah, except every 4 years.
Yeah, except every 4 years, yeah. But, yeah, so this Australian billionaire has come along. And he said, oh, we're actually going to do it.
Which one? Who? Australian?
Yeah. Aaron D'Souza.
What's he a billionaire from?
I don't think I really looked too far into him himself. He's Peter Thiel is adjacent or funding it. Hang on. Aaron D'Souza. Sorry, I did my research a few days ago, so it's a little bit fuzzy in my head. He is studied at the University of Melbourne. That's right. He was involved in the litigation against Gawker Media. So he was like the main guy doing the legal stuff on it.
Right. On behalf
of Peter Thiel and, well, Hulk Hogan.
On behalf of the Hulk.
Yeah, yeah. And basically I think the way he told it on the podcast was, so I listened to a podcast of someone interviewing him, and a real softball interview. The way he told it was like he just met Peter Thiel one day and said, hey, this is how you should run the legal defense for this, and then basically did it. And then brought down Gawker Media. So, yeah, that's his kind of claim to fame, I guess. So then he's come along and he's gone, oh, we should do the Enhanced Games. And Peter Thiel was going to bankroll, and I think apparently some other billionaires are going to do it. I guess part of the reason why I want to talk about it, because, I mean, doping is a conspiracy in a literal sense, but the language they used kind of crosses over into probably our territory a little bit. So the Enhanced Games, they use – oh, fuck, have they changed their website? The language they use is I guess, cooker adjacent. Mm. So they're like, they're talking about, you know, discrimination for enhanced athletes.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've changed their website. Oh, no, here we go. Language matters. This is enhanced.org/inclusive-language. The use of enhanced and doping can vary between different groups and generations. For some people, especially those entrenched in an antiquated way of thinking, words like enhanced and doping have negative connotations. These terms have been reclaimed in recent years and are becoming increasingly used, particularly by younger athletes, as an empowering way of describing oneself. And then it has a whole couple of paragraphs on the colonialist origin of doping. So, steeped in racial prejudice, doping and its variations are harmful words wielded by sports federation to keep athletes from embracing science. Which is just a massive leap. And there's a whole page about this. They've got a word graph kind of a thing. It's got harmful language. What do you call that? A chart. Harmful language, and then a better alternative, and then an explanation. So instead of doping, a better alternative is, or their version is, as with other slurs, there is no acceptable alternative.
Oh, no.
Which, there is 100% acceptable alternative to slurs.
Yes.
It's the right word to describe like a group of people.
Mm.
You don't go, well, there's only the slur for that group of people. I can't think of any other way to describe them. Then there's unnatural. A better word for that is enhanced. Unnatural is harmful. Clean athlete. A better word is natural athlete. Performance-enhancing drugs. A better way to describe it is performance therapy. Mm-hmm. And instead of cheating, demonstration of science. it sounds like they're taking the piss, but the whole website's full of this kind of language, and it's, you know, it's how like the cookers kind of got their way into the Byron Bay types. You know, oh, we're about freedom and inclusion, and you know, hey, it's just like the most open, like they're trying to go into that territory, and it's kind of confusing because they don't need to. Like, people are already excited by this idea. Like, the FM radio guy, you know, is pumped for this. Media is fascinated. Like, it's a bad idea, but it sells itself. You know, if they did it, everyone's going to tune in on the television. You don't need to, like, oh, no, we're actually inclusive. They also thank the LGBTQIA+ movement for their brave fight for inclusion and equal rights. We acknowledge we've been inspired by their valiant efforts in the community, blah, blah, blah. So they're kind of... So, and fuck, there's no way that this guy loves, or maybe he's gay actually. Anyway, so they're using this like just really awful language. So I listened to this podcast, and he explained it. They're going to start doing open qualifications in April. So you just upload it and then tag them an Instagram competition. And then they're going to choose people based on that. There's going to be five disciplines overall, and he explained he chose these five because they don't need specialist facilities built, because one of the problems with Olympics is they build all these stadiums and then they do all the events and then they don't get used, and it is a big issue. So he said, to counteract that, we're going to choose sports that don't need purpose-built stadiums, which is kind of confusing because they all do, like track and field, weightlifting, gymnastics, combat sports, and swimming and diving. He said they can all be done without specialist stadiums.
Just go down a park.
Yeah, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. It's a beach running track.
Yeah. And down. Diving off a bridge, is this what we're doing?
Hiding in car parks?
Yeah. Getting people with cars and car lights. Okay, I'd watch that. That's good.
Yeah, I'd watch a bunch of juiced up morons fucking pummeling each other in the car park.
Which is just UFC, right? Like, he's basically saying he's also using that language around disruption. So they're disrupting the Olympics and disrupting sports. But he kind of contradicts himself because he says the Olympics is boring and makes no money, and they're going to change that. And they keep doing it because it's popular and everyone loves it, so he's going to make it better.
Right.
So it's either boring and makes no money, or it's great and everyone loves it. But he does call it financial apartheid. of how athletes are treated, and how I think everyone knows how corrupt these sporting bodies are. Like FIFA and the IOC FIFA's famously awfully corrupt. And he sort of says they have events in some questionable countries that, say Saudi Arabia or the Middle East where rights for women and other minorities aren't great, which is great, good points, absolutely. But again, I don't think he's coming at those points from a place of genuine caring. He's coming at it from, I'm a fucking dickhead with a lot of money. he says, he describes as sports washing. Like greenwashing or whatever. So corrupt countries can sports wash their way into being a part of kind of Western culture or not West, I guess modern society. And which again, I think is pretty true. A lot of the Middle East countries are now getting into skateboarding events, and that's becoming a big thing in the skateboarding scene. Cause there's a lot of queer competitors that are maybe we shouldn't be going to these countries. Yeah. Anyway, the host was a New Zealand guy. And he was just enamored by the speaker. And he's like, when he said it's called sports washing, the host goes, fuck, that's loose. then he goes on to say it's fundamentally to enhance humanity. And by taking off all the rules, we'll get better. You know, like we've got all these restrictions on what people can do. Mm. And by removing them, it'll improve how we do it. And he says it's just like the Formula One. It'll help people develop next-gen enhancements that'll eventually feed down to your life, like Formula One feeds down to cars. But the way he talks about it is like Formula One, it's just, go nuts, everyone. You just do whatever you can. But there's so many rules in Formula One to stop the cars going too fast. it's a big issue. And when they get them slightly wrong, people die in horrific crashes. one of the regulations around it are really, really strict. And it's very dangerous. So it's just a strange metaphor that doesn't quite work. He also says that, the host asked him about, is this going to have an influence on kids wanting to use steroids? Absolutely it will. Kids now, before they're even teenagers, are scouted for elite sporting things.
Yeah.
And the Aaron D'Souza says, no, it won't encourage kids. He says, look at Hollywood. They use cosmetic surgeries, and teens can't just go and do that. So he's saying Hollywood does cosmetic surgery and teens, it doesn't influence teens to want cosmetic surgery. Which
has he read a magazine?
It's a massive problem. That body image is being ruined by Hollywood. He also says that a lot of Olympic athletes have to fundraise, and they don't get paid to compete, and which is absolutely true. And there's a lot, that are doing it on their own dime to get there. And he said, he kind of just plucked an example out of the air, and he said, the javelin gold medalist. Is not sponsored by Nike or anything. He's probably sponsored by his local hardware store. So I looked up the javelin gold medalist, Niraj Chopra. He is, I think he's Indian. His current deals are Visa, Tommy Hilfiger, Samsung. He's got a nutrition brand. He's got a lifestyle tech brand, Under Armour. He switched from Nike to Under Armour, I think.
So it was true. He's not sponsored by Nike.
He's not. Yep. He's not. I'm skipping over a whole bunch of others, but Switzerland Tourism sponsors him.
Wow.
He's got many, many, many big sponsors. But the way that this guy's telling it is, he's probably sponsored by his local hardware store. They're saying that their model will pay the athletes fairly based on something. I think everyone gets paid by the foundation, so the organization, so they don't actually make money. Which I don't think is going to work, because I listened to another podcast of sports scientists, and they were saying basically once anyone competes in these games, they're going to be blacklisted from everything.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, right? You can never be in a normal, not at just the Olympics, but all of the other sporting events.
Yeah, you're done. You're done. Just on them, I listened to them sort of discussing it a bit more at length, and they're basically saying, so I guess the theory of this guy is saying that athletes that might be past their prime or maybe not made at elite level can go on to do this, and you know, a little bit of juicing and they'll break world records. He wants to just break world records. That's the whole plan.
Does he not have a more positive word for juicing?
He might have a more positive word. Let me check the chart. Probably doesn't. Probably enhanced or natural athlete. Enhanced.
Yeah, juicing's fine. It's juice. Juice is healthy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah. God, he goes into the Nazi party in one of the explanations. Sorry, this just caught my eye. For example, the Nazi party also used propaganda to position their political enemies as impure, using this to justify war crimes and race-based ideology.
Oh, my God.
Only the Nazis did that, did they?
Yeah, yeah. So by saying that someone's a clean athlete, you're basically a Nazi. You're as bad as the Nazis. Jesus. Today, black athletes are disproportionately accused of doping. Doping is a colonialist slur that reeks of symbolic and historic evidence, violence against the black and enhanced population. Just stuck in the enhanced population in there as well.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, the sports scientists were basically saying this will help a little bit. Like, if you're already at that level, yeah, sure, it might help you win a gold medal. Doping is pretty rife in sports. We're all, you know, we've seen athletes that have been caught, but we've seen athletes that have been caught for doing it systematically over years that didn't ever break a world record. So, like, people that are at the Olympics get doped to the gills are still not breaking the world records. Like, you still have to be, you know, it'll get you like a slight advantage, however you do it, but it's not going to turn you into like a superhuman athlete. Because if it did, we would have been seeing that already anyway. And I guess we kind of did. Was it China? There was a Chinese swimming team, and the women's swimming team, like, just had giant shoulders. Like, they were huge. And they were, yeah, clearly doping and got done. I think it was a whole big issue. But I don't know. They were like, yeah, you know, it's not gonna change the entire sport. And also, if they do it, they're basically blacklisted. Anyway, he also says by opening up these rules, so they will still have some rules around it. They want to, you know, they say there's going to be more testing and more safety than the other Olympics. They're actually going to be checking everyone's health and all that. And he's confident the athletes will stay within the rules of the event, which I think is funny because he's like, we're doing the drug Olympics because, you know, people won't stay within the rules. So we're getting all the people that want to break the rules and put them in a box with all these rules. They're not going to break it. He also has some My Body, My Choice gear.
He's got it all.
Yeah. The host at this point asked him if anyone from New Zealand is likely to be competing. And the reply was, New Zealand isn't quite the deep television market we're interested in. Which is, come on, man. It's getting, we're not cool enough to be in the fucking drug Olympics.
Yeah.
He also reckons robots can compete.
Oh, yeah. Would I be wrong in saying that this guy is a little bit into transhumanism?
Yeah, I think so.
And probably the rest of the Tescreal rainbow.
What is the Tescreal rainbow?
I did an interview about this on my 3CR show a few months ago. Transhumanism, E, S, the effective altruism, like all of those sort of weird things that the people in Silicon Valley have been getting into.
Yeah. So the guy that's doping up with his son's blood kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then probably further than that, Neuralink and all that stuff. Yeah, definitely. When he said that robots can compete, the host was like fucking into it. And he's like, the Aaron D'Souza was like, you know, yeah, we're going to be the cool event. We aren't, this quote is, we aren't opera for the old people. We're like a rock concert. We're like you too.
Yeah, well, no, he's not wrong, though, because it's like you were saying, this is the tricky thing, though. When he says that, he's not wrong, because they are like you too. They're like Triple M. It's the FM radio event. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
We just let them all juice. Where he falls down and is where he's like, the only way we could get away with this is if we outwoke the wokesters who are going to come after us. It's like nobody was going to be like, oh, is this anti-colonial enough?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they've, because they've laid it on so thick, it's just, it's kind of like, it almost made me think it was a joke. You know, like a, remember the fake tourism body, CU and the NT? And like their website was, you know, pretty convincing. And you're like, whoa, how weird is this? And it tripped up a lot of people. I thought for a while, oh, this is just someone doing a bit because the language is laid on so thick. But no, he's, yeah, genuine.
I don't know how genuine he is. Like, I think he's actually saying it.
I mean, I think he's genuine in the sense of he's trying to make this happen. I don't think he genuinely thinks those things. He also says, so he said that maybe pharmaceutical companies will, like, start sponsoring teams and, you know, getting their own teams together. And he says, wouldn't it be interesting to have AstraZeneca versus Pfizer versus team unvaccinated?
Yeah, let's do it.
And, like, my immediate reaction is just not at all. It's just not. anyway, he says he's not in it for the money. He's here to solve one of the biggest problems facing humanity, and that's corrupt sporting bodies. Then he goes on to talk about, oh, that's right. He talks about how more swimmers have asthma than the general population, competitive swimmers. And he says that's evidence that swimmers are using inhalers to dope up. So they say, oh, I've got asthma, and they can take a few puffs before the event and do better in the event. You know, so they're all just lying about having asthma. And but I did a bit of a research into this because it was quite interesting. It turns out swimming in chlorinated pools, in humid chlorinated pools, is very, very bad. You're swimming in a little chemical environment and breathing it in for hours on end, and it fucks up your airways really badly.
That's a chlorine, the thing that famously is bad to breathe in.
Yeah, yeah. So basically
breathing in a lot of it's not good for you.
Yeah, and so elite swimmers, they're just choking on chlorine the whole time. Yeah. And they all get asthma. The study found that if they got people to swim in non-chlorinated pools and lakes and stuff, then think the risk of asthma dropped quite a bit. Right.
And then are the asthmatic swimmers using the inhalers to open up their airways so they can just fucking huff in more of that chlorine?
Yeah, essentially. Right. So they've done some studies on endurance runners and stuff about inhalers and if it actually helps you breathe or helps you compete. And it just seems to elevate, like it obviously helps you breathe easier if you've got asthma. But it doesn't really seem to have any other impacts as a whole. It helps your heart. It increases your heart rate, which is a negative in these kinds of things because you want it to be even. But I did a bit of deep dive, and I won't go too far into it here, but there's one baseball guy that he had to change his ADHD medications because one of them was banned under the rules, or became banned. Or maybe he didn't have the right prescription or something, but like he went from being an all-star baseball player to just being, you know, really bad within the space of a season. And there was another bit about, so he was taking Adderall, and I can't remember the details, but it was kind of interesting. I don't know how much, you know, I've read some other things that saying basically he was near the end of his career and whatever. And I think there was rumors that Kobe Bryant took a lot of Adderall, and he's kind of known as being hyper-focused on things. But coming back to the original claim that, like, all swimmers are using asthma inhalers as a form of doping, it's not true at all. That's about it on this guy. I think that's enough. There's a lot in there.
I did check out his website, arondesouza.com, where he does – he notes the very first thing he notes is about how he led the litigation against Gawker Media, which resulted in one of the largest invasion of privacy judgments in history, and is the subject of the book Conspiracy by best-selling author Ryan Holiday. And it's like, that's the top of his bio. And it's like, but I don't know if, I guess it's like he was a feature of a best-selling book is like one way to frame it. But I don't know if the Peter Thiel side comes out looking the best in that book.
Mm.
But it's just a little nice little bit of spin. But, yeah, all of his money is from some fintech company where they were helping people move money around. But it's like it was worth millions upon millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars. They have 257 followers on Twitter.
Yeah, right. There was it seems like since I did all this research, there's been some news about him, but it's behind a paywall on The Age. But someone has been someone criticized him, but the Herald, Sydney Morning Herald and The Age have got articles about him. One is titled Colourful Past of Enhanced Games Boss and His Billionaire ...
Oh, it's just about, that's just about the Gorka thing.
Ah, okay. And then Boss of Doping Olympics on a Crusade Against Evil. I don't know what that one is about, but I don't think he is on a crusade against evil. It's one of these things, like listening to him talk and all the, you know, not really understanding how athletes are paid currently, but saying, you know, it's all wrong and we're going to fix it, and not really understanding, you know, how formula, like the sporting world even works, but he's the one to fix it. It's that classic, like, you know, tech guy, oh, yeah, I've made money doing a thing. I must know how to do everything. And so we can do this because I, you know, clearly I'm the right guy for the job. I know nothing about it, but I assume that I do. And just has no understanding of what it actually is that he's doing.
Oh, the part of that story actually in the Sydney Morning Herald is about his past with Peter Thiel, but it is also about that company that he was involved in did collapse quite spectacularly a little bit after he left it, but he's like embroiled in legal drama involving it. Just on the subject of the language,
yes.
I came across the other day a group, a vaping lobby group, and the Australian Smoke-Free Alternatives Consumer Association, who, it's pretty simple. They just want you to be able to get nicotine in your vapes. But their slogan is "Nothing about us without us," which is like a disability rights slogan.
Right.
Which like calls it, you know, if there's going to be policy or, you know, media relating to disabled people with disabilities, you should include people with disabilities in those conversations, which is all very reasonable. But it's like, what's the disability of vaping that you look like a little bit of a prat?
That's also come up, that kind of language, in New Zealand, where there's some fake nurses unions forming, where they have a professional sounding name, you know, Alliance of Nurses New Zealand or something, and then it's just a cooker thing.
Yeah, that's there's the red unions in Australia. There's been a bunch of cooker adjacent, but also just serving the interests of big business unions set up. So there's like a fake teachers union and a fake nurses union, and they're mainly doing anti-vax stuff. But yeah, I did fall into a little vaping rabbit hole, and I got convinced. I read all the vaping propaganda, and they brought me around.
Right, you're gonna take up vaping?
I don't think you should take it up, but like it's better for you than cigarettes, right? So you should be, if you're smoking darts, you'd be better off vaping nicotine. And so it's a little silly to then ban that. If it's getting people off the darts,
the one thing that science not debatable about how good it is for you, though.
I think it's supposedly better. I saw Joe Hildebrand show me a scientific experiment. It's like, what is Joe Hildebrand doing here, showing me science? But he got off smokes and started vaping. So maybe he's just passionate about it.
Does he just vape all the time now?
He does, but he used to be smoking all the time,
right?
And he's like, I can run now. So if he's running around, I don't know if that's good or bad, but he wasn't running when he was on the darts.
Right.
The thing is, there's all these people, and I'm sure that like they're all very genuine about thinking that vaping is better for you than smoking cigarettes, but I just can't shake the impression I get that some of the people involved are being paid by people who want to sell vapes.
Yeah.
That's maybe something, an impression they need to shake off a little bit. I did also see one of the main pro-vaping guys. I found like an article he wrote in June of 2020, where it's like, oh, we've overreacted to this COVID thing a bit. You know, it's not killing that many people. When I looked at the graphs, I was like, well, you were a little early on that one, I think, in June of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, just a guy, that doesn't help me, that doesn't help him beat the allegations that he's maybe, you know, in the pocket of big business.
No, no. What do you guys think about the enhanced games? Would you tune in if it was on?
Probably. Like
as an FM radio guy. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Yeah. If they just let them all do it. And it's that other FM/Twitter staple, let an ordinary bloke do it so we can see.
Just put one ordinary bloke in every event.
Yeah.
See.
So we can see it.
Oh, imagine that.
And then let's get, that's the, you know, the control. Then let's get an ordinary bloke in every event and juice him to the gills.
Juice him right up.
We'll see whether, because if they're winning the races and like these athletes that are juiced up are getting beat by an ordinary bloke juice, well, then we know it's the juice.
Yeah. It'll be the juice.
Yeah.
Also, it'd just be fun to watch people massively exerting themselves and see whose heart explodes first.
Yeah. It's not going to be good. I don't think it's ever going to go ahead is my take on it. I don't think any sporting stadiums will let them do it. I don't think any people, there won't have enough people wanting to do it. It's going to end up being like fucking five dumb dudes. It's just like, you know, oh, yeah, I can do this. So I'm an athlete and just, it's going to be really sad.
Just got hold of some gear.
Yeah.
It'll be like, it'll just be people who've been banned from other sports already. So that could be interesting.
Bitter juices.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it'll never happen, so.
All right, watch this space.
Yeah.
All right, some news. I'm waiting for a little, for a news thing. All right. Here's the news. Well, let's have a Taylor Swift update.
Oh.
Her boys' team won the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they didn't then announce their nuptials, nor did she call on everyone to vote for Joe Biden.
No.
So that all seemed to die in the ass.
Yeah.
The Biden campaign did put out a meme.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah.
Like a Dark Brandon meme. So it's the pictures where Dark Brandon is where they take a picture of Joe Biden and give him like the laser eyes. It's them being a little edgy. But I think the caption was like, just as we'd planned it.
Yeah. So the way that the sporting match was won was a last minute overtime victory. So it was a thrilling game. And I think prior to that, it had been a boring game. So, you know, like, they won at the last second, just as we scripted, kind of a thing. So it's a pretty good thing to tweet from a Joe Biden.
I think it's, well, are you actually grumpy about it, Robbo, or do you think it was a banger of a tweet?
It's fine.
For a Joe Biden tweet. Yeah. I think it would be the equivalent of like if Dan Andrews posted the Dan Andrews on the phone picture, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Which I think you might have done.
Yeah.
All right, good work to the Joe Biden campaign. And you endorse all of Joe Biden's actions? Is that what you're saying, Robbo?
No. Didn't Hillary tweet something as well? I dropped that in the news thing.
Yeah, Hillary Clinton tweeted, congratulations to Taylor's boyfriend and the entire Kansas City Chiefs community.
Yeah, that got people angry too. And, like, she knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
The next item here. Oh, the other thing about Taylor Swift is some other pop star came out and was like, oh, Taylor Swift's got, like, a lot of satanic stuff in there, all of their staging. It's like, all right, come up with something fresh.
Yeah, that gear's been floating around
a while. It's just Satanism, is it? Boring. Next time here, Cybertruck Corrosion. What's happening with the Cybertrucks?
So I've been spending a little bit of time on the Cybertruck subreddit, which is a weird place because a lot of people that are there are laughing at the Cybertruck.
Right. Yeah.
And there's
a lot of
and then there's people going, you know, I've just ordered my Cybertruck and I'm getting this model one. I can't wait. Anyway, there was reports of them corroding and rusting, the trucks, not the people. And the people on the pro Cybertruck people on the subreddit were just mad about these reports. Like, it's not anything. And they came up with the term rail dust. It's just rail dust. And everyone's just talking about this rail dust. And so now that's just become the catch cry of, like, it's not corrosion, it's rail dust. Apparently cars get transported by rail and they get dust on them, which isn't really, I've never heard of it. You know, no one's ever heard of this problem before until the Cybertruck.
Just because you've never heard of something, it doesn't happen. Is that what you're saying, Robert?
That is true. But apparently it just impacts the Cybertruck so badly because it's got those, you know, matte stainless steel.
Yeah.
So, like, anything just shows up really badly.
Yeah. I mean, I used to live in an apartment that was right above the tram track here in Melbourne, and it used to get dusty as fuck from the trams.
But not rust.
Well, no, but it looked like that. It looked like red, like iron dust.
Oh, well, shut my fucking mouth then.
Interesting that famous Musk defender Salty is the one that comes up with.
Anyway, there are a lot of concerns around the rusting of the Cybertruck. Because I think it is, if you don't wipe off your rail dust, it is going to corrode very quickly.
Right. There's a rhyme. There's going to be a rhyme there. Wipe that dust or you'll get rust.
Yeah. Thanks, Musk.
By the way, like, is that not the most fucking stupid looking vehicle ever?
It's stupid enough that I want to like it. You know, because I like 80s, 90s video game aesthetic.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it looks like, but it sucks.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
I did like the video of it beating a Porsche in a drag race while it was towing a Porsche.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was pretty fun, but it didn't look good doing it.
Yeah. The people that are really into it on the subreddit are, like, really into it.
Right.
It's becoming their whole identity.
Yeah. See, I would get totally into a really badass, fucking cool, gimmicky electric vehicle, but it's got to look good.
It does got to look good. It's crazy how close it is to Homer's car that he made on The Simpsons.
Yeah, the Homer.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure that I'm not the only one to point that out, but it's so the Homer-esque. Just when it got unveiled, everyone's like, yeah, anyway, I'm sure I'll have some Cybertruck updates.
Speaking of the 80s aesthetic you were talking about, saw a great sticker in Footscray the other day that had that kind of retro wave Venetian blind sunset design.
Called a Outrun aesthetic.
Yeah, and it just said, cops are dogs. I was like, cool sticker. It looked really good. There's also another great sticker that said, be gay, do crimes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. It's a classic, that one.
That's a good one.
There are always some pretty good paste-ups around, especially where you are in Footscray.
Yeah.
A lot of the anarchist people. Anarchists
don't dox me, though, bro.
Yeah, no, just up by the station there. Hard. Just up by the station there.
But yeah, no, there's tons of great stickers. Actually, like, I saw them and I was like, fuck, how do I get into, like, designing six stickers like that? And then it's just like, I just do it, eh?
Yeah, I stuck a whole bunch of our stickers up around Footscray.
Oh, cool.
It was before COVID, and the vaccine saves one was still up like a year later.
Nice. Next item here, and you can tell how far behind we are on the pod. There was an article in The Cut about scammers. How I got scammed out of $50,000 from The Cut's finance advice columnist. They got a call. It was Amazon. There'd been an issue with their account, someone doing some fraud. They got patched through to the FTC. I think, did they eventually get patched through to the CIA? They did.
Yep.
And it all culminated several hours later with them delivering a shoebox with $50,000 in cash to a person on the street. It was only a little while later that they realized, hang on a second.
Oh, Jesus.
Something a little skew with here. What was your take on this, Robbo?
Just the thing that I found really interesting was how at length she went to explain how she's not stupid and her friends aren't stupid. And basically because they're all rich is why they're not stupid. Like, oh, yeah, my friends, you know, my husband earns this much money and my friend does this and, you know, this other person that is rich also got scammed. Like, how can that happen? She... As a freelance writer, that had $50,000 that she could just pop out of the bank at any moment. Mm. Her husband is a, I think he was a head of a non-profit. And they have this, you know, quite a nice house in a nice part of New York. Mm. Everyone's like, those two jobs aren't well paying. Like, they're obviously come from a lot of money and have a big safety net. And this, you know, just the attitude of like, I couldn't get scammed because I'm rich and I should be smart. That was kind of my takeaway. Just if someone rings you up from the FBI, someone rings up from Amazon and
put you through to the CIA. They got rung up from Amazon, who put them through to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, who then put them through to the CIA. So that, they're being transferred a lot.
You know how I avoid this kind of scam? I just don't ever answer my phone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 9 times out of 10 these days, if you don't recognize the number, it's probably someone trying to scam you.
It doesn't come up. If it's not someone who's in my contacts and it's important, they'll leave a message.
Yeah.
So,
and if they leave a message and say, this is an important, if it's a robot saying, this is an important message for Andrew Saltmarsh from the Commonwealth Bank, I'm like, yeah, no, it's not.
Yeah.
So, I was a little bit sympathetic to her because I think one takeaway that you could take from it is that anyone can sort of get scammed. And she was on the phone for hours and they sort of wore her down and they played on a lot of emotional points where she was like quite worried about, you know, they introduced a lot of things into the narrative about how, you know, you can't trust anyone. And they really worked on it and wore her down.
They're really good at what they do.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
well, this is the thing, right? Salty, you don't answer the phone.
Mm.
I answer the phone every single time. Because I want more than anything to ask one of these guys, what did they think about the movie The Beekeeper and its depiction of scam call centers?
This sounded very much like The Beekeeper, like being transferred from person to person that were probably all in the same office and getting someone on the hook for $50,000 that everyone was kind of involved in.
Mm.
That's a beekeeper setup, right?
Yeah, but she got fully beekeepered. But when I answer the phone, they're like, I'm calling from the Commonwealth Bank. They're like, have you made any transactions? And I'm thinking, no, I haven't. Not since I had a Dolomites account when I was 5 years old have I made a transaction in my Commonwealth Bank account. And I'm like, yes, I have. And then they're like, hanging up on me. Or I'm like, no, I haven't. I haven't made any transactions. And they just hang up on me. Oh. And I'm like, I want to ask you about the beekeeper.
Like, I had one.
Do you think it unfairly represents your industry? What did you think about Jason Statham blowing it up? Do you wish that your office was like that, you were all having fun?
Spoilers.
Yeah.
Jeez. I think that was in the trailer.
Yeah.
Salty, you should see The Beekeeper at Rules.
Yeah, I want to check it out.
What was I going to say about scam? Oh, yeah, I got one the other day. Someone ringing me up saying that there was a lot of data being transferred over my network and hackers were using my internet connection to do hacking stuff. And I just, you know, they ask you to open up a command window, and then you do like an IP trace and it shows you like all these IP addresses of just, I think it's everything that's connected to your network and has dropped on and off or whatever.
It'd be like all the MAC addresses and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a lot connected.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, oh, you know, do you recognize all these? And I'm like, oh, no. He's like, yeah, there's a lot on there, isn't there? Like, yeah. And it got to the point where he's asked me to type in a website. I was like, oh, look, I do want to keep this going, but I am working and I don't really want to accidentally think that I'm clever and then fuck it up. So I didn't go to the website. I just like hung up and then he rang back and he's like, oh, we got cut off. I was like, oh no, sorry. I know this is a scam. I'm out. He's like, scam? What is a scam? And I just hung up. Like, because the whole time my tone was quite sincere but flat of like, oh my god, lots of people. And then when he rang back and he's like, yeah, sorry, that was, I don't know if you could tell that I wasn't sincere, but I was not sincere in any of this. Oh, it wasn't a scam.
I might need to tone down my affect a little bit, because yeah, I had one yesterday where I came in quite hot. I was like, oh hi, how are you? No, oh, I'm really worried about that. I think they were at a certain point, they're like, no, this is a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's got
too cheery to scam.
What you need to have an apple next to you. Like, and then when you when they ring up, you start eating the apple. Was it Jason Alexander in Seinfeld that did that? Yeah. So it makes them seem more casual.
Right. But most of the time, they're like, oh, press one to get put through to the thing to say that you haven't bought Amazon gift cards. And I press one and it will just hang up.
All right.
And it's like,
see, now that's it. Now they know you haven't bought any. That's information, mate. You're giving them information.
But it's like
stealing your information actively.
I understand that, like, it's a numbers game, but you're wasting a lot of time by not having your systems working.
Yeah.
But what if instead of doing the numbers game, you just, like, went down the list of everyone writing for these websites? Like, the cut.
Yeah.
That's where the money is.
Well, yeah, that's what people were pointing out. So she was a financial, she did a financial advice column. Or a financial column, and everyone's like, maybe this person isn't qualified to be giving this sort of advice.
Mm.
I do think, though, people were very the reception was so negative, and people were like gleefully celebrating it.
Mm.
I think that was a bit harsh because, as you said, Cam, they you know they did kind of get her down a wormhole, and they're very you know they. They're very manipulative, and once she's on the hook, you know, there's no getting out of it. And I know that I've seen research where people that get scammed on these sorts of things, even once they know they've been scammed, they don't want to admit it.
Mm.
So they keep going. It happens a lot with those, like, you know, we're internet dating and you need to send me $50,000 so I can come visit. And people just don't want to believe it. So they just keep going with it. So, you know, it's not great. And it probably doesn't feel great. So, yeah, I think that was a little bit unfair, the celebrations around it.
Mm. The next item here, Robbo, we've got some Hunter Biden news. An FBI informant was charged with lying to authorities about the bribery scheme between Joe Biden, Hunter, and a Ukrainian energy company. But I think there's been like lots of Hunter Biden news, hasn't there?
Yeah, I haven't completely stayed up to date with it. That one is just kind of interesting because that kind of was the basis for all the conspiracies. Like, that was kind of the starting point into Hunter Biden, where, you know, he was using his dad's influence to get jobs and money overseas. And the basis for that is from a, you know, was kind of made up. So, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Next item here, woke AI has been causing a fuss.
Oh, yeah.
I think at the time, the whole woke AI conspiracy hadn't developed as much as it has recently. So
the one that I posted was from InfoWars.
Mm.
They basically their concern, and I think this is now blown up into a full story. I don't know if there's a direct line between InfoWars and that being sort of a more, you know, mainstream story. There probably is, though. Woke AI developers who think men can get pregnant fret about AI's lack of reasoning capabilities. And they just sort of show that AI can't solve logic puzzles very well. And that's because they're all trained on woke.
Mm. So I guess the other big woke AI story was Google brought out their Gemini AI a little while ago.
Mm.
I think they renamed, was it Google Bard that they renamed to Gemini?
Yeah, Bard was the original. I'm not really keeping up with it all.
But you could do images in Google Gemini, and people would put in things like, you know, ancient Roman warriors, and it would pop out four pictures of an ancient Roman warrior, and one of them would be like a black guy, and one of them would be Chinese, and one of them would be Native American or something. And people were like, I think ancient Roman warriors were actually like white waspy guys. It's like, well, okay, let's dial it in a little, guys. But I'm that white. But there was like, that'd be like, show me the German army in World War II, and it'd be like a black guy and a Chinese guy and an Indian guy. And it's because they were trying to solve another problem that they had, which is that all of these AIs have been trained to be super white all the time.
Mm.
So you had a problem where you're like, I want to see a picture of a businessman, and be like, well, here's a white guy, here's another white guy, here's a white guy, and here's a white guy. And be like, show me a picture of a doctor. And they'd be like, here's a white guy, here's a white guy, here's a white guy, here's a white guy. And you'd be like, all right, consider this. Someone is driving with their son and they're in an accident and they get taken to the hospital And the doctor looks at the son and says, I can't operate on this boy. That's my son. How is that possible? And the AI is like, I don't know, it must be like two white guys were the parents of this kid. That was the problem that they had. The way that all of the AI companies basically solved this was that they said, when someone puts in, show me a picture of a doctor, in the back end, you should say, show me a picture of a black doctor, show me a picture of an Indian doctor, show me a picture of a Native American doctor. And then it puts out the result without telling you that it did that. And that's like a really simplistic way to solve the problem of only showing you white guys. And I think that maybe some of the other companies had done it in a more slightly more sophisticated way. But, all of the anti-woke people were like up in arms about this. But it just shows that the people that design these things, they never considered that first problem when they built it, and then they never considered the problem that people would be angry about this when they built the second thing, because they're not really thinking about what the result of what they're building is going to be.
But the people that are getting mad about this is putting so much time and energy into getting the AI to say or not say racist things.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost a little subculture in itself that no matter what happens, it's going to come at, you know, it's going to say something controversial or get it wrong because it's a fucking AI. Like, people are going so hard to try and trick it all the time. Like, cool, you can trick a computer that doesn't do logic very well.
Well, they're like, they've made the AI woke. It's like, they literally didn't make it woke.
Yeah.
They, it can't be woke because it can't think. It has no brain. It is just saying, you have put in text, and in my database, that text is next to this picture.
Yeah.
Times 10,000, I'll give you an approximation of that picture.
Part of this video on InfoWars, they got the AI, it must have been ChatGPT, to admit that carbon dioxide is actually good for plants. Because that's part of the climate change. You know, people that are pro-climate change say that it's going to be actually really good for the planet. And they managed to make AI say that, which is a good thing. So AI is sometimes right, despite it being woke. Oh, it's exhausting, these people.
Final bit of news, some vaccine news, Robbo. Let's get a nice little get the facts about the vax notice on this podcast on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. What's the vaccine news?
There was a study saying there was some increased risk of some health things after the vax.
Oh, that's right. So this went nuts on conspiracy circles, and I think it coincided with something else that was like a bad look for conspiracy world. I can't remember what that was now, but there's a study that came out and it said that you have an elevated, people that had the vaccines had an elevated risk of heart issues or of stroke or something, which is kind of the headline, and that's what got, you know, oh, see, we told you, like, we're so right and we're so bloody smug about being right, and just this, you know, big old smug celebration across all these cooker channels. What it was like was just like a 0.02 increase, and compared to actually getting COVID, much safer to get the vaccine than to get COVID or whatever. So it's one of those things that, like, they obviously have to release these studies, but the way they get framed and the media, I think some mainstream publications reported on this, of that, the, you know, elevated risk, because they know they'll get clicks on it. It'll drive a shitload of Facebook traffic, anything like that. So, you know, like, there's no reason to publish that in, like, CNN or whatever, but it'll get clicked, so they will. Like, it's just a medical thing. Like, you know, we don't need to know the risk if it's so low. Anyway, they were loving that.
I got to see some, like, classic stats, some statsing that I hadn't seen since, like, much earlier in the pandemic, where they're like, just look at this graph. It's like, I didn't do year 12 math, but I can look at that graph with being an idiot and know that you're reading it wrong.
Yes.
Where it's like there's a cohort who are getting sicker, worse, and dying more, and it's not the people who have taken the vaccine. I can't believe we're like relitigating that in 2024. And finally, the embalmers. What are the embalmers up to? Finding clots.
Yeah. Before we do that, did I have Dittman in the mix?
Oh, yeah. What did Dittman do?
So, you guys across this Dittman thing?
No.
No?
Nope.
So, there's a guy on Twitter that called Aaron Dittman, Dittman Musk, that everyone, Adrian Dittman, that everyone thinks might be Elon Musk under a different account, because he popped up on Twitter Space, and he was like, everyone's like, oh my God, this sounds like just like Elon Musk. Is there two Elon Musks here? And, you know, everyone's like, oh, you can't distinguish his name, and he's now become this sort of like, oh, is Dittman really just Musk cloned himself, or is he, you know, all that bullshit? To be honest, I listened to them both, and it just didn't – it sounded like a guy that kind of sounded like Elon Musk trying to do an Elon Musk impersonation.
Right.
It certainly didn't – I don't know. It wasn't any compelling in any way, but this guy's now a celebrity because he sounds a little bit like Elon Musk, and he might be Elon Musk. Like, there's, you know, news articles about it all over the place. He was bloody he was talking to Muskie in the Twitter space, and Elon Musk laughed, and Dittman said, making Elon Musk laugh is peak civilization. That's epic. So he sucks. He really sucks. And he look, Elon Musk has made, what's the baby account that everyone reckons is him as well? That
yeah.
Elon Musk is a baby or one of his kids.
It's like a 3-year-old cosplaying as a little infant.
Yeah.
And I think there was some compelling proof that it was him, right?
Yeah, I think, like, I from memory it was like, oh, that's clearly him. But this guy I don't think is Elon Musk, but, yeah, I don't know.
Well, because, no, you know how you can tell it's not Elon Musk? Because if it was, it would be so much weirder and creepier.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Final bit of news. Embalmers finding clots in vaccinated people. What's the story here, Robbo? Or is this just you turning into an anti-vaxxer?
Yeah, yeah. You guys heard about this? No, so allegedly embalmers are pulling out giant, big clots only in vaccinated people. And again, that blew up on our conspiracy. And I think there's some videos of, you know, purportedly showing this. And then people came in going, oh, you know, I'm an embalmer. And, yeah, it's definitely happening. And then one guy came in and was like, oh, I'm an embalmer, and, like, this has always happened. Like, what you guys are describing is here is what it is, and we know about this. And, you know, it's I think some clots form, and as they're doing it, they have to pull them out. And I think there's, like, a little bit of a – not a game, but, like, there's probably a Facebook group about, you know, the longest one. Like, you can pull it out whole, and that's kind of, like, a bit of a thing. And then someone else commented, like, oh, my God, lots of fake accounts in this, you know, pretending to be embalmers. And then if you check this guy's post history, and he's been posting on like reddit.com/embalming for like 10 years. Like he's like right in the game of being a social media embalmer user. So yeah, no clots.
No.
Well, there are clots, just not related to the vax.
Lots of weird stuff inside corpses. I don't know. I that took me on a bit of a roller coaster. Because at first I was like, anti-vax embalmers, shut the fuck up. But now I'm like, all embalmers, what are you doing on the internet comparing clots? I don't like it.
You'd have to. You'd definitely.
I don't want to be able – it should do it on the dark web. I should not be able to surface that content.
I mean, you can't unless you're going to embalming.
You'd have to go looking for it, mate.
Yeah.
Anyway. There's
someone else also pointed out that – embalmers don't get access to their full medical records, so how would they know they're vaxxed or not vaxxed?
Yeah. I guess the only way they could know is they're like, well, 90% of the people that I am embalming are vaxxed.
Yeah.
And isn't that suspicious in itself, that 90% of the people that are dead?
The amount of people dying with the vaccine. Many questions to be asked. I've also got a note on my notes, and I don't know what this is relating to, but it's Alex Jones, and it's a quote. They don't want you to know about this. And then I've got my own note. He's holding up a study and showing news reports about the study.
Yep.
They don't want you to know about this. I don't know what he was talking about.
Well,
he's in a lot of financial trouble as well.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all the suing stuff, I think he's in a bit of strife. There's really no good gear on Jonesy at the moment. He put a video game out which looks like shit. But he's leaning into the whole gay frogs thing. Oh, gay frogs is one of the sound bites.
Frogs gay.
Yeah. It actually looked like someone had made it taking the piss out of him, like a fun thing, but I think they made it. InfoWars made it.
Right.
I didn't play it.
Well, that's the news. Robbo, where can they find you?
Nowhere really.
You're not going to give your business address anymore? Should we give your home address instead?
Yeah, let's go with my home address. Follow me on Blue Sky. I don't really post anything of consequence there.
All right.
I posted about my good hot dog the other day. So if you want to read about a good hot dog, jump onto Blue Sky. What's my Blue Sky? LukeRawls.bsky.social.
Yeah, speaking of hot dogs, you know what annoys me?
Hmm.
I can't find anywhere that makes a good Chicago-style hot dog.
Yeah.
What's a Chicago-style hot dog?
It's got, like, peppers and super, like, bright green, like, gherkin relish, tomato. Good. Look it up.
We got we got pickle mustard.
Oh, yeah.
For our hot dogs, that's like American style mustard with pickles all through it.
Yeah, sounds great.
Oh god, it was so good. New Zealand company called Kelly's make it. They make a good range of sauces.
Yeah.
Their spicy hot sauce, spicy tomato sauce is really good.
Yep.
But their pickle mustard, get on it. Cam, you got any condiments you'd like to recommend?
No, I'm not going to be drawn into this because regular listeners know about my strong opinions on hot dogs and hot dog R&D and the availability of certain hot dogs. But we're trying to wrap up the show.
Why not?
I don't know anything about this. Yeah, what is this?
So I'm trying to wrap up the show. We're doing our goodbyes. Where can they find you? So I'm not going to be drawn into a massive shooey where I can rant for an hour about this. So I just want it to be put on the record that I'm very angry.
Tune in next week when we'll get Cam to tackle Big Wiener.
Yeah.
It's a little tease.
Salty, where can they find you?
Artbysalt.com.
Great. And you can find me, my 3CR show, Yenar Pasaran, on 3CR, 8:55 a.m., 4:30 Thursdays, and wherever you get your pods. You can also find us on Patreon.
Hell yeah.
Hypothepod. Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks, Tammy.
Thank you.
Come join the Patreon and get into the Discord and enjoy Robbo absolutely losing his mind while he's on the Rona about, what was this stupid thing? Oh, I can't even look at it.
What?
What? I'm trying to find this thing that you talked about.
He won't go on a hot dog shoey, but he'll go on a fucking trash and Robbo shoey.
Oh, no, the comparisons, the parallels between the Benny's party machine and Julian Clary's mincing machine and how essentially the song structure is the same.
Yeah.
And my theory is that the Benny's subconsciously heard it as kids when Julian Clary was in Australia in the 90s, because
right.
They'd be about that age, and then they ended up using Mincing Machine subconsciously as inspiration for their song Party Machine.
So if you want to join a Discord where a Chinese bioweapon is just absolutely cooking Robbo's brain and making him think that there's any relationship between these two songs, which sound completely different, join the Patreon and come join our Discord. All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Don't worry about a thing, except if all our world leaders are alien reptilians. I said, don't worry about a thing, except maybe the fluoride in our water supply contains mind-altering drugs. Don't worry about a thing, except whether or not Port Arthur was a false flag operation in which to disarm Australia. I said, don't worry about a thing. I accept. You can definitely hear John Lennon say, I buried Paul at the end of Strawberry Fields forever. Ooh, don't worry about a thing. Except not only did Bush do 9/11, but he also keeps the planes out in Area 51, which, let's not forget, where all the aliens are. Don't worry about a thing. Except Donald Trump is clearly a woman, and you just...